going to get to Q&A, but before we do that, I want to give you a little bit. We don't have time for me to teach you the entire universal blueprint, what the three questions are, how to answer them, and all that. That's what we can get more detailed with in the class. However, we've already established that there's not a gazillion types of problems. There's really only six different types of problems. So the three questions just get you on the right path, so that you know which of those six types of problems it is. Once you're there, so it's kind of like you get off the freeway, okay? You're driving down the happy road of parenting. You're on the freeway, everything is going good, you're just preventing problems, and then something happens, and you gotta get off at the exit ramp. And at the bottom of the exit ramp, there's five different rows. If it's this type of a problem, you're gonna go this way. If it's this type, you're gonna go, and it gets you on the right path. Once you're on that path, the tools that you choose along the way can be totally specific to your child, your values, your rules, why they're doing it. Your child might do something because she developmentally is so young she doesn't understand it. Shannon's child might do the exact same thing, and he knows doggone well and is doing it on purpose. And they might look like the same behavior, but the way you answer the question is different than the way that you answer. The questions get you onto the right path. Once you are on the right path, then here's your paths. There's three main questions, okay? There's no problem. If there is a problem, first as you figure out, is it a child, Brad, do you want to help me with this? All right, you guys know the hand signals too, so let's go. Should we teach them the hand signals? All right, we'll do it real quick. All right, you guys don't have to stand up doing this. Three questions very quickly. Is it a child problem or a parent problem? Okay, child problem or parent problem? Is it, if there's misbehavior, you go to question two. If there's misbehavior, is it problem behavior that's unintentional, PU? Or is it problem behavior that's on purpose, PO? Okay, PU is like a stinky diaper. They don't know better. They haven't mastered the skill. PO is, oh yeah, they know. And they're doing it anyway. Which leaves you feeling what? PO. Okay? If it's on purpose, then you figure out, well, if they're doing this on purpose, what's the purpose? Okay, is it a child problem or parent? If there's misbehavior, is it unintentional or on purpose? If it's on purpose, what's the purpose? Those are your three questions. And those three questions, once you know how to answer them, we would have to dig a little bit deeper for all the different ways of doing that, would help lead you to what type of a problem it is. Once you know what type of a problem it is, there's going to be up to five steps that you take in your response. This is called the PASSER formula. You prevent problems whenever possible, so that you can do anytime. If there's a problem, the first thing you do is acknowledge the child's feelings. You always acknowledge the other person's feelings first. And this completely de-escalates the situation. Not completely, it de-escalates the situation. Maybe completely. Okay, by acknowledging, you don't have to agree with it. You just say, I understand you think this is unfair, or I know that you're frustrated, or whatever. Half of a sentence, half. Not lectures, half. Half of a sentence. If it's a child problem, you just stop. And there's a technique that I teach that's called facts listening. It's how to help children learn how to solve their own problems. That's what that technique does. So if it's their problem, then you help them solve the problem. Child problems, these are parent problems. Child problems involve issues that we call the PESS. And what is that, folks? Fears. Emotions. Siblings and school. So if it involves any of these issues, it's a child problem. Ultimately, who do you want to solve these? Children, right? So you don't solve it for them. You teach them how to solve those problems for themselves. So you don't abdicate. You don't go tough, deal with it, it's your problem. But you also don't say, well, here's what you should do. I'll solve it for you. Because then they don't learn how to solve it for themselves. So you say, wow, I see you've got this problem. What do you think you can do? And then you brainstorm ideas. Okay, that's how you handle, that's basically what facts listening is. When there's a parent problem, then you have to express what your concerns are. Those are your sharp RV issues. I'm concerned about, fill in the blank, whatever your sharp RV is. If there's misbehavior, then you redirect the misbehavior. If it's unintentional, they haven't mastered the skill. So what do you think you want to do? Teach the skill. Until you teach the skill, are they going to know what to do? No. If it's on purpose, then you figure out what the purpose is. They're trying to reach that purpose through negative behavior. You want to teach them how to reach the purpose through positive behavior. So you redirect. For either one of those, you may need to go to discipline, and we just discussed the basics of discipline, which is holding them accountable for their behavior choices. Make sense? I don't expect you to memorize this tonight. Okay, so it's basically, you can use this anytime. In one sentence, you acknowledge feelings, set limits. If you need to, if there's misbehavior, you better put sentence two, which is to redirect it. And that's where there's only five types. There's five-star tools, and you just match them up. And by the time you get through that session, you know exactly if it's this type, this is what you do. And then, if necessary, sentence three would be to reveal discipline if you choose to blank, although you've decided to blank. That's your third sentence. Now, when you're dealing with problems, how many of you say more than three sentences? See, what people have a tendency to do is they keep saying the same thing over and over, louder and louder, or maybe they get longer and longer. I say three sentences. You've now revealed the course that this will run. So if they choose to do it again, then you're at the point of redirection, or you may just follow through on discipline because you've already revealed that. So you don't, or you might just give a one-word reminder. Walk. Didn't have time to tune you out on that one. Okay, so there might be a couple of reminders, but it's not over and over, I've told you a million times, right? Which is very frustrating. Five steps. Okay, so the way that you answer these questions is specific for that child at that moment in that family. If a child's running around naked in the backyard, some people would call that a problem. I'm embarrassed, or I think that's inappropriate, or we don't have a privacy fence. People will say, so that might be a problem. Somebody else would be like, hey, nudity's great. No problem. Both are right. I said they were in their own backyard. Okay? So the way that you answer the questions, that's how you make it individual. Once you know what type of problem it is, then you just go through the steps. At each of these steps, what the whole rest of the class is, we do foundation the first session, second session we do the universal blueprint, then we cover all the prevention tools, and I make sure you get those. Once you've got those, you're able to work with those for a good couple of weeks, you're starting to get preventing a lot of the problems, and then every single step of this, we go through every step and you learn what your different tool options are. So when I need to acknowledge feelings, how do I do that? How do I manage my anger? How do I teach my child how to manage their anger? If I have a concern, what are the 10 different ways I can communicate those respectfully without yelling? If it's misbehavior, how do I tell what it is? Which tool do I use? And then what are the about 5 to 8 really good discipline tools that work, that don't take me down to punishment? So that every step, you know what your options are. Okay? So that's the overall plan. And the last thing that I want to say about this, as we head into Q&A to answer some of these questions. A lot of times when parents ask me questions, like I said, I've been doing this 30 years, tens of thousands of parents. I do radio shows all the time. I do a lot of call-in radio shows. Or like online, people ask me a question, I get an answer. What I see most often happening in families with parenting is that parents are usually spending a lot of time trying to stop the behavior that actually has a root cause that they're unaware of. So say, for example, a child wants attention, and so they do something outrageous. Parents a lot of times will just try to stop them doing the outrageous thing and might not realize they're trying to get attention and what to do instead. Okay? So there's a lot of times where the real issue is what you've got to deal with. Facts listening and the problem identification three questions are what help you identify what's the real issue. If all we do is keep trying to stop the behavior, make them not feel that way, and we don't resolve the real issue, what's going to happen? It's going to come back. Imagine that I had cancer and it caused sores. I could keep putting salve on the sores, right? If I don't cure the cancer, what's going to happen? It's going to keep coming back. What if I figure out what the real issue is and I solve that? What will happen to the behavior I'm seeing? Poof. It disappears. If I cure the cancer, what happens to my sores? They disappear. The key is recognizing what the real issue is and recognizing at what point you may have gotten off the path. Because parents will say to me, and they'll launch into a story, you won't believe what my kid did. He da-da-da-da, and honestly, most of the time, within about the first 10 seconds, I could see a different choice they could have made that maybe would have taken them down a different path. And then they go on with their story. And then this happened, and then I got mad, and then they did this, and now we're not speaking, and I'm like, so how can I solve this problem? I'm like, good Lord, your train is so far out of the station, you can't pull it back when you're that far gone. How about if you head out of the station on a different track? There's one choice, and it's often way back in prevention, that parents just recognize the choices that they have and make that choice. Most of the problems can be prevented. A lot of problems can be prevented. So a lot of times I'll hear, oh, I'm all the way over here, and I'm like, whoa, back up. Right here. Try this. Oh, it can't be that simple. You don't understand. This is a complicated problem. This is something I've been dealing with for months. You don't understand. Try this. Now, sometimes they have some unlearning to do and some relearning to do. But sometimes it's that simple. It's right as soon as you get off the freeway. If you go that way and you use those tools, there's a real good chance this is going to be able to avoid it. If not, okay, fine. Then you're going to go plan B. And then you're going to redirect it. Here's what most parents do. And this is the last thing. Now I'm going to actually apply this to some of the, we go back to, I don't think I put it on the second one. Yes, I did. So here's the passer formula. What most people do is, they might try to prevent problems, but then when a problem arises, they say, I don't like what you're doing. This is what's going to happen because you did. Correct? As a result, they're often jumping right to discipline. And things often escalate, correct? Instead, if we acknowledge children's feelings right there, that de-escalates the situation. Now, because we listen to them, what are they more likely to do with us? Listen to us. And then we can express our concerns now that they are listening to us. They'll hear us. And then instead of jumping through this, a lot of people just go, I don't like what you're doing. This is what's going to happen as a result. This piece right here, redirecting misbehavior. If they haven't mastered the skill and we don't stop to teach them the skill, are they going to keep misbehaving that way? Yes, because they haven't learned how to do anything different. If they are trying to get attention on purpose and we discipline them, we don't redirect it and break that power struggle. We don't break the revenge cycle, the attention seeking. And we move right to discipline. We are either going to give them a payoff. Discipline is a great attention getter. Kids can get a lot of attention through discipline. Power. We discipline in a power struggle. That's not going to be interpreted as discipline. That's going to be interpreted as power play. Revenge cycle. Discipline in the middle of a revenge cycle. They don't take that as discipline. That was revenge. It turns our discipline into punishment, and we don't get as good of results. So if we can stop at this step, and again, it can just be one sentence. Then we make that one sentence and then move on to discipline. In 1, 2, 3 sentences, we have covered our bases. So not only can we prevent problems, but the first time that we respond, we often get better results. So does that make sense? All right.